Good morning. For those of you who do not know me, I am Pastor Brenda Maynor, and I would like to welcome everyone to our worship service today, both members and guests alike, and a special warm welcome to those of you from around the world who are in worship with us this morning through our live stream at holytrinitybuffalo.org. Just a few announcements for this upcoming week. The church office will be closed tomorrow in observation of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The Fellowship and Hospitality Committee will meet next Saturday at 9 a.m. downstairs in Redeemer Hall, and all are welcome to attend. Our Wednesday evening worship service has now been moved to the chapel. The service begins at 6:30 p.m. The Haiti travel team is scheduled to leave on February 23rd. Please see their announcement in the bulletins for additional items that they request to take with them. And next Sunday at our Sunday Forum, please join us as we welcome Emily Porter from Porter Farms. Programs begin at 9:30 a.m. in the fellowship room, and all are always welcome to attend. Please see the bulletin for additional announcements.
Thank you.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates us and forms us, who redeems us and calls us, who unites us and sends us. Amen. Gathered in God's presence, let us confess our sin. Mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We divide the body of Christ. In your mercy, cleanse us and heal us. Let the words of our mouths, the thoughts of our hearts, and everything that we do be filled with faith, hope, and love. Hear the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim the release to the captives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven and you are released. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the man who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God.
And
honor and blessing and good.
Let us pray together. Lord God, source of every blessing, you showed forth your glory and led many to faith by the works of your Son, who brought gladness and salvation to his people. Transform us by the Spirit of his love, that we may find our life together in him. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I invite the young people of the congregation forward for a time with Pastor Miller.
Coming from all the way to the back. All the way down the aisle. Oh, I did get lunch all the way down back. Awesome. Hello there. Welcome. It's nice to see you. Welcome. Nice to see you. Thanks for making it out. Somebody filled up some jars with some water. Jesus told them to put the water in the jars. And then Jesus told them, just pour it out. And you know what happened? It turned into wine. It's one of those times where I wish like I had one of those magic things and we could have done this and I could have poured one thing out and poured out. But the whole thing, even if I had done that, Jesus was not using magic. It was just one of those times when God did an amazing thing. That water had gone in, and wine came out, and that was to be a sign. So I was wondering if you could think about if a time at church when anybody poured water over you, or if you've seen water poured out over anybody else. Has that ever happened? Yeah. Where? Over there! What happens? Oh, so both when you've seen someone baptize themselves, right? So you've seen water poured out. We saw it just last week, right? And the baby wasn't even so, you know, sometimes babies are young and sometimes they're not as young. Last week, the baby was a grown person, right? So no, it wasn't a baby. Well, it was a child of God. So water was poured over Lauren's head, like when you were baptized, water was poured over your head. Or if you've ever gone over there when there's been water in there, then you can splash yourself with water. Can you think of any other times?
Oh, at Sunday school.
And at Sunday school, sometimes that you've done it. And every time, especially at church, but Martin Luther would say, every time you washed your face even, you could remember that when the waters of baptism were poured over you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and you'd get yourself all wet. But that's only the first part of the story today, right? The water goes in, but then this wine comes out. What do you think God has put into you that comes out? What comes out? What do you think? Not just wine. This is a tricky one. This is a hard question. Another part of the Bible says that the Spirit puts into each one of us gifts. That we all have stuff that we do well, and especially stuff that we do well that helps somebody out. So if you can cheer people up by your smile or making a joke, or some people can make others feel good just by sitting next to them and not saying anything at all. People are good listeners, and someone else needs to be listened to. So I want you to know that God has given you stuff, gifts, that help other people out. Amen? And every time we remember our baptism, every time we remember that water coming in, we can remember that God has given us gifts and abilities and the way that we are, and especially our love, that we can use to pour out of us and give back. And we will never run out. You can always go back to the font. You can always remember the water coming in and the gifts going out. Amen? Will you pray with me? Dear God, we give you thanks that you have given all of us gifts, that in the waters of baptism you fill us up, especially with the gift of love
and there's more than enough love to go around. So use our love to share with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good to see you. Thanks for coming through the snow. Fun at Sunday school.
The first reading for the second Sunday after Epiphany is recorded in Isaiah, the 62nd chapter. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, "My delight is in her," and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading for today is recorded in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. And to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." And so they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. I just want to say what a privilege it is and fun to be in this place through a snowstorm, coming into the 8:30 worship service, and church and folks were there and ready to go. Our young people were so excited about being here this morning that they spent the night in the church last night just so they could get a good seat. Because of that, Pastor Maynor spent the night last night, and we knew that there would at least be one pastor here to keep things going. But we gold stars to all who are in the pews, in your assigned seats. I also noticed no one moved forward, but everybody's sitting where you always would. And so if you're watching us on the live stream, the sanctuary is full and everyone is where they should be. Special thanks to the choir and worship assistants, acolytes and others to gather together. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." And to all those gathered with us online, we welcome the whole community here together. Please pray first with me. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, we give you thanks, Lord God, that you would wake us this morning, stir our hearts, and gather us together through many means. That just as the snow covers the earth, your Holy Spirit descends upon us and covers all your people. That you might refresh us and awake us with a word, pour your Spirit into us through living water, that we might be poured out all over the earth. That your grace would spread from this place, that your love might flow from here into a whole world in need. So for love and abundance, for grace overflowing, we give thanks in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Trent Gillis, executive director of a group called On Being, writes that the way forward is to look back. That if we are to consider our present place in the world, that it behooves us to read and study the wisdom of visionary leaders of the past whose own brilliance blinds us to observations made during quieter times. On Christmas Day, nearly a half a century ago, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stood before his congregation at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta and gave what would become his final Christmas sermon. Dr. King began by saying that this Christmas season finds us a rather bewildered human race. We have neither peace within nor peace without. Everywhere, paralyzing fears harrow people by day and haunt them by night. Our world is sick with war, and everywhere we turn, we see its ominous possibilities. If we don't have goodwill toward others in this world, we will destroy ourselves by the misuse of our own instruments and our own power. In those same days when our country was mired in Vietnam, King lamented not only the segregation of our people, but the separation of people one from another, humans from each other. And it seems today that our laments can ring as true. Our self-automated technology means that we can drive the thruway or shop in any store or purchase and send all of our Christmas presents out without ever having to interact with a single another human being. We are still war sick, reminded again this week that our daughters and sons, and so many daughters and sons, are in harm's way in Syria, in Iraq, and Afghanistan. Our communities are increasingly fractured with individualized entertainment and a market that consumes the poor. And it seems our culture is almost more anxious. Sensibilities on edge, incidents of expressed anger and hatred statistically on the rise. When the prophet Jeremiah lamented to the Lord, the word of the Lord returned to Jeremiah and offered a dire diagnosis. My people have forsaken me. Me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. We are dry. Not only that, but the text seems to indicate that when we are dry and when we are empty, we don't turn back to the source of life, but we try to manufacture our own remedy. We have forsaken and forgotten the source of the fountain and made cisterns or vessels for ourselves. In other words, it seems to be in our nature that when things get tough or when we experience wilderness times, brokenness, and barrenness, we are more likely to turn to something we can get our hands on for our fix instead of turning to the source of life. And the vessels that we create for ourselves, whether they are structures in our mind to protect ourselves from others or they are things that we fill our lives with hoping for the happiness in them, these vessels cannot hold water, cannot retain joy and keep the water flowing. But Dr. King writes, and yet, my friends, the Christmas hope for peace and goodwill toward all can no longer be dismissed as a kind of pious dream of some utopian. And so if we assume that life is worth living, if we assume that humankind has a right to survive, then we must find an alternative. And along comes Jesus. Our minds should consider when we read the Gospel of John that something mysterious is about to happen. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which we will be reading in much of 2019, those Gospels called the Synoptics follow along closely the sharing similar stories to tell the life of Christ. But John will use other source materials and often has another way of looking at things. Remember, in John, there is no nativity of an infant birth. There is only the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things came into being through this Word, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. On the third day. On the third day is how the second chapter begins this morning. On the third day from what? It should make the hearer look back to the chapter before and maybe wanted to know what happened on the first day and on the second day to get to the third. And so you look back and John is counting the days since Jesus' baptism. Jesus was baptized and on the next day called Simon and Andrew, and on the next day found Philip and Nathanael, and Jesus invited them to follow. And on the next day, on the third day, call it a resurrection day. On the third day after Jesus came up out of the water, Jesus joins his mother and friends and family for the wedding at Cana, where the wine has run dry. Yesterday we celebrated the life of our sister Suzanne Volante. Flowers adorned the altar, and she would have been here in the second pew with one of her great church hats on. Suzanne loved a good party, a good celebration, and a key ingredient in that celebration was a good glass of wine. And she would know that if the party wine had run out, the party was over. Biblically, wine is a sign of blessing and hope and joy. So the wine running out was more than a letdown, like a buffalo blizzard without a six-pack. Thank you, somebody, for staying with me. And so Mary instructed the stewards to follow the word of her son. Now standing there were six empty stone jars. Now because we know John is a little mysterious, then our antennas should go up when we hear the number six. Why six jars? We know three, the 3 days pointing to the resurrection, but why the number six? Its truest connection is found in creation. We're on that sixth day after God had created all the living creatures that crept on the ground and swam in the seas and flew in the air. On the sixth day, God dreamed of a companion, and God made us. God made you. God made humans in God's own image, generous and loving, creative and full of imagination. The six represents us, the human family. Remember what would happen over time, that the humans to whom we are tied, created from the dust of the earth and filled with the breath of God, would wander from a source of light and life and love until Jeremiah declared that these people are cracked cisterns that can hold no water. So Jesus tells the steward to fill the six vessels with water. Imagine the looks that they give to him. Isn't it wine they wanted? Why the water? And they whispered to each other as they went away. Maybe there were other stewards hiding in the wings watching the foolishness. For as the stone cold vessels are now filled with water, and not really water, but water with a word from the word made flesh, no one knew what was going to happen next except the Lord. And this is the time when the promise comes to be. This is the baptismal moment. That in baptism, as we pour the water over the head of the child, however young they may be, we don't know what is going to happen next. We don't know where God will take the baptized. We don't know what they will do or who they will love. We only know that God has promised to love them and be with them always. We know that God is at work when the water is poured. So when the water is poured into the six stone cold vessels, Jesus makes a promise with the word and fulfills it in instructing the steward. Now, pour it out. The vessels are poured, the water has become wine, and not just any wine, but the good stuff. The bridegroom complimented for saving the very best for last, and this is it. God's first act of manifestation in Jesus the Christ, following Christ's own baptism. A story of reclamation and reconciliation, God's redemption in us. In the waters of baptism that we can return to every day, God fills us again and again with new life, with spirit and light and love. It never runs out. When the baptismal waters break into our stone-cold hearts, what pours out are gifts of kindness and generosity, grace and love, healing and forgiveness, joy and faith in believing. And Paul writes that everyone has gifts. Every person has gifts, all given by the Spirit. This is what our world needs today, the gifts that have been poured into you. This is what Dr. King was dreaming about, a world where all people are filled with the knowledge that they have value, that they are unique, that they are somebody. That God has poured life into each one of us, fills us, and uses us for the sake of others. That our lives are an offering poured out for the purpose of the world. On Christmas Eve, 1967, Dr. King said he was still dreaming, and we are invited into the dream. He said, "I have a dream that one day all people will rise up and come to see that they are made to live together as brothers and sisters. I still have a dream that every person in the world will be judged on the basis of the content of their character rather than the color of their skin, and everyone will respect the dignity and worth of every human personality. I still have a dream today that one day war will come to an end, that men will beat their swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, that nations will no longer rise up against nations, neither will they study war no more. I still have a dream today that one day the lamb and the lion will lie down together and every person will sit under their own vine and fig tree and no one shall be afraid. I still have a dream today that one day every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill will be made low. The rough places will be made smooth and the crooked places made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. I still have a dream today that with this faith we will be able to adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. With this faith, we will be able to speed up the day when there will be peace on earth and goodwill towards all. It will be a glorious day. The morning stars will sing together, and the children of God will shout for joy. Amen."
Thank you.
together as one in Christ Jesus, let us confess our faith using the words of the Creed found on page 10 of your worship bulletins. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Strengthen bishops, pastors, deacons, and all who lead your people in ministry. Pour out your Spirit and make us bold to proclaim your reign of mercy and justice. Strengthen all communities of faith, including the Buffalo City Cluster, for Grace, North Park, Parkside, Resurrection, and Holy Trinity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the earth, for vineyards and orchards, for fields and gardens, urban parks and wilderness areas, fill the earth with your abundance and provide for the needs of all living things. Lord, in your mercy. For the nations, guide leaders and decision makers toward the well-being of all in their care. Strengthen those who work to uphold human rights for the sake of the dignity of all people. Shelter communities threatened by violence and show us the way of peace. And we pray especially for all the men and women serving in the armed forces and their families. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those in need, for those who face a scarcity of resources and those who struggle with debt, for all who suffer with chronic pain, all who grieve, and all who are ill, we pray for all those we now name aloud and those we remember in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, for this assembly, transform us and fill us with your life so that we pour out your love and service to the world. Bless all who work to provide food for others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all your people, the young and young at heart, for your daughters and sons, including the children of our community, and especially today, for Lillian, Maxwell, and Henry. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died in faith, and especially today for our faithful sister, Suzanne Vellante. Inspire us by their witness and unite us in the eternal light of your presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Amen.
To share a sign of that peace with one another. Thank you. Let us pray together. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Come, Holy Spirit. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, Power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Amen. Let us pray together. We thank you, O God, that you have fed us at your banqueting table with bread and wine beyond compare. The very life of Christ for us. Send your Spirit with us now, that we may set the captive free. Use your gifts to build one another up, and in everything reflect your glory, revealed in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Gracious God, you took the form of a servant, offering yourself as food, comfort, and strength to a sick and hurting world. Anoint with a servant heart those who take your word and sacrament, to our sisters and brothers in their homes, in prisons, and in hospitals. Grant grace, mercy, healing, and hope to those who feast on your body and blood and receive your words of new life. May we all recognize that we have a place and a home in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The God of glory dwell in you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.